Good morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're gutsier than about half of our members, so we're glad you're here. Normally, we have a lot more of a crowd in those outer sections. Glad everybody kind of moved in and made the singing a little easier and the communion and all that stuff. Glad you're here. Hope you stay safe on the road the rest of the day. And I'm trying to catch myself up a little bit from the announcements to make sure I understood. The Hoffman's group is not meeting. Carl's group is not meeting. Mike? Not meeting. The Foremans are not meeting. Pressure on.
Peer pressure, no.
Not meeting, okay. Of all the ones who shouldn't meet, it's probably yours. If you've ever seen the steps at their house, they're fun to negotiate on a regular day. But I'm excited. Snow, finally. I moved here from Arkansas 16 months ago, and this is the first white flakes I've seen fall from the sky. And so I keep seeing pictures of people going to Bend in places and all the fun snow, and I have not seen any of it. So it was kind of nice to see this morning when I got up. I had no idea it was coming. I looked out the window, and it's like, wow, that's unexpected. Glad to see the snow outside and the changing of the seasons and all of that. All right. Before we get rolling this morning, last reminder, and this is kind of a tough last reminder because half of our men are not here, but our men's event is coming up on January 23rd, and I will remind again, but the main reason for the reminder today is if you want to get tickets to that Oregon-UCLA basketball game, the deadline for the group rates is Friday, and that's not my deadline, that's the Oregon Ticket Office deadline, so if you want to do that, go to our church website. And you can click on the link there for the men's event, and it will take you to a place where you can buy the tickets. They're slightly discounted. If you miss the deadline, you can just pay full price, and it's not a huge deal. But anyhow, if you'd like to be a part of that, it should be a good Saturday coming up here later in January. Also, I hope you will be thinking ahead about things going on this year. We've got this coming up. We've got the Eugene Rally not terribly far after that. We'll have our Ladies' Day, I'm assuming, on in May, as we normally do. A lot going on in the springtime and late in the wintertime, and just a good time to be active here in the church at Eugene. Now, if you want to flip over in your Bible to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I will have to admit to you that this morning, I was rattling in my mind as I was not having class and sitting on my couch and thinking to myself, I almost hate to do this today because this might be my favorite thing in the book of James. And not that you are unworthy by any means, but I would love to have everybody here to talk about this because I think it's a big problem that we have. Not just here in our own church, but in general in life, this idea of how we control the things that we say. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. I was reading somewhere last week that the ancient Greek word that describes this phrase is baloney. And I think that if you ever have encountered being on the wrong side of words, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. And there are a lot of ways we could look at this, and we'll talk about a few of them this morning. But mainly I want us to think in terms of gossip, which I think is a big issue with a lot of folks. I want you to think about negativity, which is a big issue with a lot of folks. I was having a conversation the other day, and I was struggling with something someone had said, and I wonder if I was gossiping by having this conversation even. I was struggling with something someone had said, and the person I was speaking to said, "Have you ever heard that person say anything positive?" And I thought to myself for a minute, no. I can recount every encounter we've ever had, and I can't think of a positive word. And I would imagine most of us in our lives have someone like this. Now, the danger you have is if you can't think of someone like this in your life, it might be you. And so you have to be careful. But we got to worry about negativity, and then also we need to worry about just the way we talk about people, whether we're insulting, whether we are short with people, whether we don't think the best, however you might want to put it. The things we say can have a lot of effect that we don't realize. So starting in chapter 3 and in verse 1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Repeat after me. We all stumble. Okay, let's try it again. I know there's not a lot of us. We all stumble. All right, now hopefully as you start to think that through in your mind, you will really grab hold of that and believe. And I know we know this somewhere deep down, and James tells us this, but at the same time, a lot of us behave as if we don't believe this. A lot of us behave as if I have all of this figured out and no one else does, and if everybody else could just get on board with where I'm at, we'd all be good. And we would never say it that way, but the way we operate says that. And so we need to start to realize, first of all, that we are all falling short. Paul would put it this way, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. We all fall short. We all stumble. And it's interesting to me that the other thing he says is anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. And I think for a lot of us, we can immediately start to think of someone in our mind. Now, I will admit to you that when I was in college, this was me. I was right about everything all the time. And I never realized how obnoxious I was until a reunion down the road. And we had a homecoming thing, and the people of our club got together, and we had this big event and everything, and I ran into a guy who was coming across campus who I'd gone to college with, had not seen in 15 years. And as he walked up to me, he said, "Rush!" And I realized a couple things. One, it was not my weight, because I was in better condition at the time. Two, it was not the fact that I was a Republican, because I tried to play that pretty close to the vest either direction. It was because I thought I was right about everything. And he remembered me from 15 years earlier as Rush. Now, I will tell you the other piece of that is no one ever called me that when I was in college. And I started to realize very quickly, this must have been something that got around with people that I knew, that this is who I am. And I was very bothered for the rest of the day. And I thought to myself a lot of things, but one of the main ones I thought was, being right about everything is not all that. Now, I know we want to be correct when it comes to Scripture. I know we want to understand. I know we want to do the righteous, the godly things. But sometimes we get so caught up in being right that we miss the point. We miss the opportunity to love. We miss the opportunity to show Christ. We all stumble, and anyone who thinks they don't, must think that they're perfect. And again, I don't think we would all say anything remotely like that. Moving on. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, we make them obey us. To make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. All these large things have something very small that sets their direction. And you may not think that you have a direction you're going, but even if you're just moving in circles, you have chosen that as a direction. Each of us allows the things that we say to set a direction for us. And you, like me in college, may not be aware of that. You may not be aware of how you were seen by others. You may not be aware of the way your words come across to other people. And James would warn us that this tongue can become an issue if we're not careful. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. If you, like me, over the last couple days have spent a lot of time watching college football bowl games, there are a lot of great boasts that have been made over the last few days. Tongue can get us into trouble, can it? I watched a guy in a game yesterday, I don't even remember which game it was, who was down by about 4 touchdowns at the time, make a great play, and just start taunting the guy on the other team. And I just wanted to say, have you seen the scoreboard up there? I mean, you're way, good play, fine, but look at what's going on in this game. I wonder sometimes, do we stop and think about things before we make these boasts? The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And we live in the land that understands this. You go into the forest and you see those signs with what the danger is, and we're excited to see all the snow, not just because it's fun to see the white stuff falling from the sky, but because maybe this decreases the danger on down the road as things are a little wetter than they were last year. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. Wow. pretty direct, pretty bold statement, and it reminds us that it just takes a little statement. And if we have ever been on the giving side of that statement, think of the damage that we can do without thinking. Because if there is one thing that maybe a lot of us might struggle with, and I know for sure that I do, it is the speaking before thinking that we might do. How many times have you said something and it gets to right about here and you just wish you could grab hold of it and bring it back in? With your spouse, with your kids, with your parents, whoever it might be, you say something, maybe with a coworker, maybe with a family member, maybe with just somebody else here at church, and you don't think about it before you say it, and as soon as it's said, you realize, oh boy, I'm going to have to do a lot of damage control to fix that. Just takes a little spark. Now, the good of this is this also can work in a positive direction. Sometimes when the words that we use are chosen well, and we try to encourage, and we try to build up, and we try to be positive, that small spark that we begin with can start something huge, can start something big. Carrying on, the way Proverbs would put it is, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. He says it's like a sword, can do a lot of damage if we don't be careful about what we're saying. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It is restless. My wife, who several of you have asked about this morning, doing very well, recovering from her surgery. I made the husband call this morning to say, it's snowy outside, I'm not the best snow driver in the world, I have no idea how slick it is, and if we have a wreck or something, or you fall in the parking lot, we're right back where we started. And so I said, just stay home, take the day off, it'll be okay. At the same time, she has left the house maybe twice since that surgery happened, once for church last week, once for something else, and she is restless. She's tired of sitting in the recliner, she's tired of boys on computers playing video games all day on Christmas break. She's tired of football on her TV. She's tired of all these things. She's restless and she just wants to do something. And I think we get that way sometimes. And sometimes we get restless with hanging on to the things we want to say. Just want to lash out with it. Needs to be said, and if I don't say it, who's going to say it? And that restlessness can get us into trouble. Because I hate to break this to you and to me, most people are not sitting around just waiting to hear what you have to say. Now, clearly you are. You wouldn't be here. You're sitting. You're looking at me, and you want to hear what I have to say. But generally speaking in life, people are not sitting around just saying, I wonder what Brian would say about this. If only I knew. And a lot of times, they would rather I not say, because my opinion is not what they're looking for. I think for a lot of us, we just assume, well, I've got the answer here, and I need to throw that out, and we need to realize that restlessness within us sometimes can lead to what James says is evil. The need to say something can sometimes lead us in the wrong directions. And you think of all these birds and sea creatures and all that can be tamed, and yet the tongue, such a hard time taming it. And I think for a lot of us, as we try, we realize that. We try to say the right thing, we try to do the right thing, and we go for a little while, and then we just lose it, and we say something we shouldn't. With the tongue, verse 9, we praise our Lord and Father, and we curse human. And with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. This should not be. The things that we say and the things that we do should be working together, because that's how we've been designed. That's what we're supposed to be. We should not be saying curses and at the same time praising with that same mouth. Or as the way we might put it today, do you kiss your mom with that mouth? Sometimes we say things that are just unkind. Sometimes the language we use is unkind. And I don't want to get into a whole profanity discussion this morning. That's probably not the point of this. But at the same time, if we are not careful with the words we use, do we hurt the possible influence we might have? If I could tell you how many times on a golf course, at a party, somewhere, I have heard some pretty salty language, And then somewhere along the way, the question is asked, what do you do for a living? And then I get to say, I'm a preacher. And then you see the blank look all of a sudden, and everything they say is suddenly changing and different, and they try to catch the words they're saying. Why are we like that? Why do we have a different set of expectations for one group and a different set for another? Why isn't the way we talk just consistent? Why are we just not building up, encouraging, positive all the time? Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. We have been designed for a purpose. We read in James a week or two ago that we have been designed for good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. Your tongue has been designed to spread his word. Your tongue has been designed to encourage. Your tongue has been designed to say positive things. And so many times we are doing the thing that it was not designed to do when we speak wrongly of others, when we're not positive, when we're cutting, when we are so right all the time that we don't think about what it is that we're saying. This morning, I don't know what words have hurt you. I know there are a lot of empty seats here because people are scared of the snow and the ice. I know there are also probably a few empty seats here because people looked at the snow and ice and thought, I could use that. I'll take the day off. You know, I could probably drive on and be okay, but yeah, it'd be kind of nice just to sit here by the fire and enjoy. But I'll tell you something else, and if you're visiting, you may not realize this. There are some empty seats out here because someone has said something to the person that should be sitting in that seat, and they will never darken the doors of this place again. Now, I will tell you that if we based our family interactions, our work interactions, our group interactions the same way, we would be alone all the time. Because pretty much anywhere you go, someone has said something that has bothered you at some point. But for some reason with church, that's the cutoff, and we're just done with it. I want you to think about those folks. And some of you may know the story. Some of you could sit down with me and say, you know, so-and-so was here for 20 years. And then preacher said something, secretary said something, elder said something, and they're off, they don't go anywhere now, or they go to this other church down the road or whatever. I want you to think about those things. Now, I don't think either side of that is right. I like to think that if someone says something to offend me, and by the way, in 15 years of full-time ministry, that has happened once or twice. Couldn't figure out where you were going with that sermon. What was that all about? Man, that went on a long time. Do you even know what you're doing up there? Any number of things. And I keep going. Now, I have the added excuse of that's where my paycheck comes from, and I get that. But I like to think I would keep going anyway. Do people frustrate us? Absolutely they do. Could someone frustrate you before you leave here today? There's probably a pretty good chance of that. But what do you do? And then on the other side of that, I want you to think for just a moment, if you know that many stories of people who no longer are here, and by the way, also if you're visiting with us, I don't want to give a bad impression of us. This is church. I mean, that you can walk into any church this morning, and I think you will find the same thing. If you've heard that many stories like that, think of how many times you might have been the person to say something that drove someone away. How many times I might have said something that drove someone away. It's a scary thought, isn't it? And that's what James is getting at here. We need to be aware of the power that comes here. We need to be aware of the fact that the things we say, even if we say them in jest, even if we say them with just kidding tagged to the end of it, even if we think we're being funny, even if we don't think it affects people the same way it does when it's coming at us. And so we have to realize that we've got to control these words. And then even more so, to get us past just being neutral, the positive effect that those words can have. I am here today, and you can look at this as good or bad, depending on how you see this. I am here today, but because at the last church I worked at, when our preacher retired, and I was the sub guy while they were looking for somebody, several people said to me, you should really do this full time. And I thought to myself, I've always wanted to do that full time, and I just didn't really know if this is the time yet. And I thought it was the time, that wasn't the place, and for me, this is the place. But it was those encouraging words of people, for whatever reason, that decided, I'm not going to just leave today, I'm going to say something. And I think for each of us, we have that opportunity. We see people doing good things that encourage us all the time. I see the Throwers and the Claxtons pictures on Facebook yesterday, having fun over at Hoodoo, and in a cabin that they've rented out to vacation over the weekend. And I thought to myself, first of all, why wasn't I invited? But they knew my wife was recovering, so I'm sure that's the reason. But secondly, I thought, and I'm old, that's the other reason. Secondly, I thought to myself, it makes me so happy to see people at this church connecting. And I kept going back to those pictures and seeing smiling faces, stalking their Facebooks, and thinking to myself, this is great. And I said something to Trey this morning about it, but it's very easy for me to see those kinds of things where we're doing things the right way and to be encouraged by it and not to say anything. Just to, you know, or to say something to my wife about, hey, this is cool, and not say anything to the people who are actually doing those things. I'm encouraged weekly by things that you guys do. I'm encouraged when I pull around the corner onto North Kinzie and there's cars in the lot this morning. And even though there's not as many of us as normal, there are people here who are dedicated to being here. And I love that. Daily, we see each other doing things that are good. And I hope that we will spend more time being positive and using the tongue in a good way instead of using it to be cutting or to always be right or to gossip. And this morning, if the tongue is your struggle, then I think you are in a room full of people that are in Talkers Anonymous, if you will. And we are all trying to recover from that. This morning, if you have been talked about and you have finally made your way back here, I am glad you're here. And I think we're all glad you're here. And I will warn you, it will probably happen again because we're not perfect. As James says, we're not perfect. But we're working and we're trying to get better. This morning, if you've never really looked at yourself that way and never thought about it, I want you to think about it. And maybe that's not something you need to confess publicly or pray about publicly, but maybe you go home and just think, how can I better control this? How can I better use this as a tool for good? Or this morning, if you think, you know, I never really knew what to think of church, but they sound fairly normal. We are, for the most part. And if you'd like to be a part of this, you'd like to take on Jesus in baptism, you would like to be a part of the family, we would love to bring you in and make you part of the family. Whatever need you may have this morning, please come as we stand and sing.